Beyond Jones Beach, the great park Robert Moses had built when he was young, was a little private community called Oak Beach, and Moses said our first interview would be in his summer cottage there. So I drove out from the Bronx that day in 1967 over bridges he had built to Henry Hudson and the Triborough, after generations of city officials had been unable to build them, and over expressways he had built, the Cross Bronx and the Major Deegan and the Bruckner, by ramming them straight through the crowded neighborhoods of New York, and over parkways he had built, the Grand Central and the Cross Island and the Southern State and the Meadowbrook, when the most powerful forces in the state had sworn he would never build them. When I reached Oak Beach and turned in through wooden gates that hung ajar, the colony seemed deserted in the preseason May chill. The little cottages set among the high dunes were empty and boarded up, and the narrow graded road through the dunes had been covered by drifting sand, so there was no sign of life. And then I came around a curve. Suddenly, in a circle of dunes below a modest house, was a long, gleaming black limousine, and beside it, a black uniformed chauffeur and three armed and booted parkway troopers. The chauffeur was lounging against the car. But although the troopers, members of an elite 200-member unit that was in effect Moses' own private police force, were only there on an errand, they stood rigidly erect, as if they feared he might be watching them from the house above. As I stepped out of my car, a tall woman, his wife, came out on the deck of the house and said that Commissioner Moses was ready to see me. And I climbed the stairs, and with Mrs. Moses holding the door open, entered a large living room. It was plainly furnished, but most of its far end was glass, a huge picture window. Through the left portion of the window could be seen, about a mile beyond the house, the long, low steel roadway and high center arch of the bridge that linked Long Island to the Fire Island Barrier Beach, the Robert Moses Causeway. Through the right portion could be seen, jutting into the sky, the partially completed 200-foot-high red brick tower that was the centerpiece of the five-mile-long park at the end of Fire Island, the Robert Moses State Park. And in front of the window, in a big easy chair, sat Robert Moses, looking up at me, framed by his monuments. He said, "So you're the young fellow who thinks he's going to write a book about me." And standing up, he came toward me with a wide, warm grin on his weathered face. Although I had been working on his biography for almost 2 years, this was the first time I had met Robert Moses, the man who, more than any other individual, shaped modern New York. Getting to meet him had not been easy. Although he had been the most powerful figure in New York City and New York State for more than 40 years, more powerful than any mayor or any governor, or any mayor and governor combined, the only previous biography of him was a totally adulatory book written 15 years earlier under his literally line-by-line supervision. Despite many other attempts, no writer had been able to do another book about him. And when I, then a reporter at Newsday, had written him in 1965 to propose the project, I was told that I wasn't going to do one either. His two top public relations aides, Murray Davis and Edward V. O'Brien, informed me, in two separate conversations, to make sure I got the idea, that I would have absolutely no access to his family, friends, or aides, or to any state or city officials, or to his documents, or to him. Therefore, they said, they presumed I would be forgetting the idea of writing a biography of Commissioner Moses. And for almost 2 years, he had, with some success, done his best to make sure that this prohibition stood. He was then at the very height of his power, with absolute discretion over the awarding of contracts by city or state in every field of public works. And the word had gone out that no architect, engineer, or contractor who spoke to me would ever receive another such contract. I had, however, drawn, on a piece of paper, a series of concentric circles around a dot that represented him. The innermost circle was his family, friends, and close associates, and I was prepared to believe that he could keep me from seeing them, and probably the persons in the next circle or two also.